This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. We're going to start out with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum has been on the show before. Very, very interesting woman. You know, her publicist sent me a couple of blurbs on her thoughts on a couple of things, one of them being the amount of psychopaths, sociopaths, etc. in our society. And the other topic that Ryan sent me was, here's a woman who's got some very, very high qualifications and also a real interest in talking about other people as that relates to the debates, for example. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what the body language of many of the most, I have to say, of the candidates showed. I want to start out, Dr. Birnbaum, if you don't mind, and I want to talk about society in America. Interestingly enough, Washington, D.C. has the highest level of psychopathic citizens of any city in the country, according to a survey that Ryan sent me. Any comments on that?
Well, why is that? That's interesting, to say the least. You know, we have presidents in the past that had psychopathic tendencies. The psychopathic does not necessarily mean violence. It does not necessarily mean physical. But it does mean that they have narcissistic qualities. They are leaders, they are self-centered, they are strong, they are very opinionated, and other people don't really matter. And as well, they don't have empathy. Now, it could be a negative, but when we're having to choose wars and protecting people, maybe that emotion is better not to be have in the way. So it's very interesting phenomena that being a psychopath has someone who can really go ahead and take care of our country in a very effective manner, yet it has a lot of negative connotations to it for sure as well.
Let's talk about, for example, let's begin with our president, if you don't mind, Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump, in your opinion, a type of psychopath?
He is the one that stands out the most. He's a leader of all psychopaths. He's extremely defensive. So as a president, personalizing what is said really breaks all the rules. We are looking at somebody whose ego is really out there, which means everybody is wrong and he is right. So even though they make the best presidents, I mean the best presidents, they could often make the worst husbands, because what you do outside the home is what you bring inside the home. So these type of qualities can be somebody who really rules and really takes advantage by being perhaps physically abusive. Now, I'm not saying that he's doing that, but I am saying that these kind of relationships bring out emotional abuse, verbal abuse, control, where they want their partner to be able to be there for them all the time. And I think that's why he left his first wife. She was too busy conducting business for the setting up the building and having her own business there as well. So he wants that, and they're possessive, and people and things become their objects. So that's a part of the extension who these people are, these presidents are. So it is a good thing, and we had Kennedy and Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt. They all had big egos. They were narcissists. They were psychopaths. And then we had the people that had less of these qualities, George Bush, and we're looking at Jimmy Carter, and they actually lost. So we don't know this, but at an unconscious level, we are really voting for these strong personalities to protect us.
Now, Frieda, I have to ask you one question, and that is, you know, when Ryan sent me the survey of the major cities in America that had the highest level of psychopathic citizens, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not Dr. Al Corlin with a PhD in psychology. I am purely and simply somebody who reads as much as I can and who tries to be as informed as I can. As a professional clinical psychologist, Dr. Birnbaum, are you basically saying that psychopaths and sociopaths are bad people to be around? It doesn't sound like it to me.
Well, there's a huge distinction even between psychopathic type of behavior. You know, the truth is that CEOs, lawyers, media workers such as yourself, don't get upset now, salespeople, surgeons, journalists, police officers, clergymen, chefs, you know, civil servants could have these traits in them. They are charming. They can be charismatic. They can follow the rules. But some of these people who take these type of positions are also very self-fulfilling, narcissistic, big egos, and do have leadership qualities. But it doesn't mean that they have criminal behavior. So psychopaths has a long range of descriptive type of behavior that fit into certain character traits. So we can go the whole gamut of what a psychopath is. And we're not talking about criminal behavior, although because they don't have empathy, they often are very smooth with their criminal behavior, if that is their tendency. So ordinary citizens also have criminal behavior, but they don't fit under all these descriptions of lacking empathy, not being able to bond with other people, and they really don't have any feelings about punishment. They don't even feel that there's something that is wrong with it. Their emotional state is not really completely connected. And we're talking about brain patterns as well. So we're not talking about people who are necessarily instinctually doing this because they want to, but it's their thinking pattern as well. So psychopathic tendencies have a long gamut of differences from just being socially not aware to criminal behavior. I mean, we're looking at selfies as well. These people also have psychopathic tendencies. They're self-centered, and they really think that they're all that, whatever that means. So sociopathic tendencies and psychopathic tendencies are interblended, intermixed, but sociopathic tendencies are people who really do have these feelings. They bond with their families, they bond with their friendships, and they really have empathy. So that's a huge difference between the two.
Let me ask you this. You know, it sounds to me like a psychopath, for example, would have some, you know, would have some good qualities and could very easily make the best spouse for someone. But having said that, I really have some questions about the nature of society in America today. I want to introduce this subject, but I forget, just so you know where we're going to go in the next segment, because we are going to have to take a short commercial break here in just about 30 seconds, but society in America today has gotten to be, in my opinion, very, very different from what society was. Now, we're about the same age. I'm a little bit older than you are, but that's neither here nor there. Society in America is very, very different today than it was when I was growing up in Seattle, Washington. And I would have to say that I think society in America, as demonstrated, for example, by the philosophy of the progressives, has really gotten to the point where it is much, much more dangerous for the future of the country and for the future of our society than it was 15 years ago or so. I'm going to talk about this subject with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum right after the commercial. Be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, back with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. I'm going to talk about society in America today, and then I want to get some of her views after we finish with that one on the Democratic debate. But how has society, in your opinion, Frieda, evolved in a different direction than it was when you and I were kids?
And then, you know, we have a president who is more volatile, more emotional, and everyone says, you know, I hope he doesn't push that button. So we're living with the crisis within our country as well. We don't have that kind of trust, that kind of familiar feeling that in America you're safe. That no longer applies. It used to be the wars were over there. Now the wars have come to us as well.
Well, I think we are definitely at war right now. I don't know if you're familiar or not with my friend David Horowitz, but David, in my opinion, is one of the most accurate thinkers in our society today. And that's one thing that he brings up in all of his books, in all of his public speeches, and that he's brought up on the show numerous times. The U.S. is today, in a very real sense, at war. It's just not quite as obvious as some of the prior wars. But we're at war right now with the jihadists. There's no question about that. And that's what they want. That's what they started. So, I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that one?
Well, you know, you're right. And we are at war, and we bring our young men, we send our young men to these places where they're killed. And then we feel as if, again, that we have this type of ammunition, but they're people that we're sending over there. And as long as we keep doing that, and as long as we've become more global, it really has put us at risk. They say that you should teach someone how to fish rather than give them the fish, you know. We need to teach other countries how to thrive without feeling that they have to depend on us. Because as we've become more global, they have become more entitled to getting what it is that they feel they need from us. And that has created a lot of tension, a lot of fighting, and a lot of death.
You know, I agree 100%. I want to flip over a little bit, if you don't mind, to the subject of the debates. Very interested when Ryan sent me the topic of your qualifications as a PhD psychologist in terms of observing people and come to conclusions based on their body language. I assume that you watched the debates. Any comment on any of the individuals there based on your impression with how they presented themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joe Biden, the vice president, our prior vice president that we were all looking towards, stood in the middle, and we felt that, okay, he's going to represent the Democrats, what we all have in mind. He did not follow through, and we were very disappointed. Yes, he spoke in a manner that was studied. He said all the right things. He lacked that luster for the debate. He didn't seem to have that energy. And when he was confronted in the midst of discussion, he said that his time was up when other candidates kept talking and got applause for pushing their time limits. So there wasn't that way of thinking from him. And when he was confronted by Kamala Harris about the way he dealt with segregation and the way he dealt with the busing, he said, well, it was a misconception. It was a mischaracterization of myself. But he didn't go into it. Didn't really make it a case that was very strong. It almost was as if he gave up and just did not say as much. You know, he spoke longer than anyone, 13 minutes and 8 seconds. And he spoke about Trump 7 times. So he did have program at hand, but the way he delivered it made him look vulnerable and took away presidential stance. And the one who really won last night was Kamala Harris. When she said, that little girl was me, she really stole the show when she talked about bus and segregation and asked him what part he played in it. He said it was the government. It had nothing to do with his role. So he skirted the issue again. But she had this passion and this energy even from the beginning when they were arguing amongst each other and the debaters. She said, well, wait a minute. This is not about a food court. Let's talk about putting food on the table. And she won a huge applause, and that's how she started the debate in a very strong way. She spoke about 12 minutes and 9 seconds, so she spoke a little bit less than Biden spoke, but she really did have the people in her area, in her court, and she was very good with her eye contact. She looked around. She just wasn't focused on the camera. She was relaxed. So she may have been well rehearsed. She was very, very flexible with the topics at hand and very comfortable with herself. Her mannerism was great with her hands, open palms, pointing at other people when she wanted to be direct. So she was really on top of everything and had leadership qualities, and that's what we really want. And the one with the worst leadership quality, Marianne Williamson, she really was very spiritual, and she may have been good at dealing with Oprah, but this was not a love fest.
No.
This was somebody that had a high-pitched voice and was pleading, and at one time she said, "Hear me, please." That was her takeaway line that we remember the most about her. We don't want someone to be begging for attention. We want someone that's going to be commanding the attention with us. And then, of course, we had somebody who was young, Eric's, I can't even pronounce his name. Do you know how to pronounce his name? Swillville. And his message was always the next generation. That was a great thing to say, but also, what about his generation and his youth and his lack of experience? So we had to look at that as well. His message was strong, but when you looked at the whole idea of somebody young coming in with lack of experience, with lack of leadership qualities, well, we don't want that for our president as well. So we really had to dissect the message that was given to us and the well-studied and well-rehearsed messages we heard. But also, we have to look at the leadership qualities. When these people have to go in front of other diplomats, when these people have to deal with dictators and with wars around them, how much will they be listened to, and what kind of attention will they really get? The ones that fought hardest on the panels were the ones that really got the attention.
Well, there you go. I agree 100% with that one. The Dems don't look very good right now to me.
They do not. They do not. Trump must be very happy. What do you think?
I think Trump is incredibly happy right now.
Yes.
Dr. Birnbaum, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, and have fun wherever you are.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is wrapping up a 20-nation summit in Japan with a long news conference. Trade with China is one of the main topics, and the president reported on decisions he's made after talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
I promised that for at least the time being, we're not going to be lifting tariffs.
He also spoke of visiting the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas.
Spoke with the people. Kim Jong-un was very receptive. He responded, and so we'll see. Because tomorrow we're going to the DMZ. I said, while I'm there, I'll shake his hand. We get along.
He was also asked about former President Jimmy Carter, who has questioned Mr. Trump's presidential legitimacy, saying Russians helped him to win by cheating.
He was a nice man. He was a terrible president. He's a Democrat, and it's a typical talking point.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Last 2 seconds. Segments, I guess I should say. This isn't the last 2 seconds. Come on, Al. Wake up, folks out there. I've got two guests on this particular finale. One is Christine Douglas Williams, who was on the show once before. Christine is a published author, and if I'm not mistaken, that book is a very hot-selling item right now, both on Amazon and in bookstores. I'm going to turn this segment over to Jim and Christine after Christine introduces her book. And then, Mr. McKinney, it is all yours. Christine, you're on. You got the mic.
Great to be back. My book is called The Challenge of Modernizing Islam. More specifically, it ended up, when it was first launched in 2017, an institutional bestseller, a public institution's number one bestseller on Amazon, which means it's in the Library of Congress, every major library, including campuses, Harvard, Princeton, UC Berkeley, Stanford, all the leftist universities as well. I'm not sure what a compliment that is from where I stand, but it's a tool. It's meant to be an educational tool when it comes to the whole notion of modernizing Islam. And yes, there are those that say you can't modernize Islam. Islam is Islam. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to answer this very briefly because it was a whole book, but I'm going to make this short. The best question I get, and perhaps the most important, is Islam a religion of peace? Because that kind of covers everything. My answer is normative Islam is not a religion of peace. Based on every written book of Islam jurisprudence, based on the history of Islam, 1,400 years of it, and based on every scholar looking at Islamic states, the major Islamic states, Islam in the letter is not a religion of peace. However, you do have various sects, and you do have various Muslims across the board that are saying, look, we have been inspired by Islam, particularly the second part when Muhammad made his trek to Medina. He became a warlord, but the first part of the Quran is more peaceful, and that has inspired their families. It has inspired them, and many of them are cultural Muslims, but many also say, look, we want to worship in peace. This is what our parents did. And I say, according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I was once an advisor to the Office of Religious Freedoms under the Harper government. That was before it was shut down by the Liberal government, and I was also kicked out of the Liberal government. But anyway, that's another topic. But I really stand for religious freedom. So my view is, if Muslims want to reform their religion from within, they have every right to do so from a universal Declaration of Human Rights perspective. And that is where I stand. The book features several Islamic reformists. One of them, one of my favorites, is the founder of the Quranist sect in Egypt, Dr. Sheikh Subi Mansour, who was an Al-Azhar professor, kicked out of Al-Azhar, suffered in prison, and was eventually exiled, and many of his friends were killed under Mubarak. So that alone tells you what that battle of reform looks like. And many others have suffered the same. So there is a huge underground movement, which is very different when you look at what reform talks about on North American soil. Yes, the reason I did it, I interviewed North Americans, and the reason why is because they were excellent voices to tell us what to watch out for when it comes to groups like CARE and groups that pretend to be moderate, but they're not. So that is kind of it in a nutshell, and there's a lot more, but that's just the nutshell version of the book.
Oh, thanks, Christine. It's interesting to me when I talk to different people about, you know, my experience. I served in Albania, predominantly Muslim country. I served in the Middle East. I've served all through the region, the Persian Gulf, and of course in Afghanistan. There are peaceful Muslims. There are people, and of course in southern Philippines, there are people that actually want peace. But you're talking about the religion as a foundation for principles for culture moving forward or backwards. And so, you know, let's can you quickly give a kind of a different view from the contradiction between the Western philosophy that you're talking about, basically of individual human rights and freedom of religion, versus you must believe in a certain way, which is the fundamentals in Islam?
I hope I answered this correctly based on what you're asking, because from my perspective, it sounds like an excellent question. And there is a difference between one person here, one person there saying, look, I have a right to worship Islam how I see it. But there is. There's a website that I like to put forth, Al-Musliya, it's called. These are Arab intellectuals that have been working from within Islam. They live in Egypt. They live across the Islamic world, and they're scholars. And they're advocating, they're saying, look, Christianity, although it's not written in Christianity, because Christianity is inherently a peaceful religion. However, the religion was taken at one point and turned into one where there were battles involved. There were forced conversions involved. I maintain that humans are the ones that worship a faith. The group of reformists overseas, the ones that are living throughout the Arab world, are saying, look, we want to see our religion modernized. In the Old Testament, under Judaism, Christians say, well, Christians, it's all peaceful, but we're based on the Old and the New Testament. We have a Bible, a full Bible. So if you look at it that way, there was a time where people were stoned for certain sins, and there were certain practices that is no longer deemed to be acceptable today. And there's one Jewish state, which is Israel, and goodness, you don't find that going on in Israel sanctioned by that state. So in terms of Judaism, when you look at what was commanded in the Old Testament, which is what is being practiced today, it is a huge difference. Those who are trying to reform their religion from within, it is a turf war going on between the ulama and those who say, look, we could modernize. We want to take it, basically. And we don't even know. And this is a point, what went on those years after Muhammad died, because there was a 200-year gap where the word of Muhammad was taken through the eyes of the caliphs that formed these caliphates, and then came the written word. So what happened during those 200 years? There's a whole blank. And this is why Daniel Pipes, the Islamic scholar, says, Islam is whatever you want to make it, because there's too much of a gap. There are too many people saying this is what Islam is, this is what Islam should be, but the bottom line is we know what it is according to the ulama, according to what is written, but what it could be and what happened during those 200 years that some say we don't know and we insist it could have been peaceful, well then fine, let's give it to them. Let's allow them to reform if they say, look, we want to take this, take the peaceful versions of the Quran and live peaceably with every other person on the face of the earth and ascribe to pluralism and acceptance and human rights and equal equal rights and so on. So that's the view that I put forth in terms of whether it could be reformed from within as a technical procedure as opposed to just one person here, one person there.
And basically what you're saying, if I get this right, is, you know, Christianity went through after Catholicism and the different pressures that went through the mid 15th, you know, to the 15th century, we went through Reformation, Martin Luther, and a change and going back to the principles, because there was a gap between the written word and the Bible as well. But what the end state of that was actually in Christianity, very much pushing towards both a peaceful view towards man and each other and kind of a transition from that Old Testament view. We have nothing like that in comparison in Islam at this point. Is that what you're saying?
Sort of. But I will make it even tougher. I'll present an even tougher issue. The argument goes like this. When one becomes more Christian, one becomes kinder and more peaceful, because this is what Christianity ascribes to, the Prince of Peace, Christ. When one becomes more Islamic in terms of the Hadiths, the Sunnah, and the Quran, one becomes more violent because it's based on the Sharia law, which is Islamic supremacy. But with that being said, that 200-year gap does leave something up in the air because nobody knows what happened in between then, and as a result, nobody knows the truth about what really happened through the walk of Muhammad. And there are those, the ulama, that will say, how dare you? This is what Islam is. At the same time, there are those that say, no. While there's one side that wants to reform Islam back to the 7th century of what Muhammad is deemed to be, there's the other side that say, look, we don't want this. We want to bring Islam up to the 7th century because there is that 200-year gap. Even in the book, Did Muhammad Exist?, written by Robert Spencer, who, of course, sees Islam for what it is today, which, unfortunately, it is normative Islam, and it is not a religion of peace. That book, Did Muhammad Exist?, the short conclusion is, it is all over the map. Nobody even knew what the history is. It's a composite between right. And based on right. And based on that. Yes, exactly.
It is all over the map. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Going to be right back with Christine Douglas-Williams and Jim McKinney.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey, welcome back. Here to wrap up KER politics in a very volatile but educational a couple of segments, chatting, as you know, with Christine Douglas Williams and Jim McKinney. I would like to change the subject, and again, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Jim, but I would like to focus right now on what's going on specifically with Iran in the Middle East. I think it's a problem. Some of my listeners think I'm crazy. Some of my listeners think I'm a warmonger. I don't see it that way. Jimmy, take the mic.
All right. And I do want to just close out Christine's point earlier. My perception, my belief, my interpretation is the West, you have over a period of time evolved to this idea of individual choice, and fundamentally the United States set this principle of you choose which religion, if you choose to believe or not. In Islam, you can't not do that. In fact, it's contradictory to not have faith in Allah, and of course that means connecting your politics and your entire life under that view. So that, to me, is very problematic. Ultimately, what I think Christine is arguing, and I don't want to speak for you, but we need to see a change to where people have that choice, and there has to be a fundamental change in that. And then I guess really where we want to go right now with Iran and your comment, Al, is the idea that Iran is somehow the victim in these circumstances, to me, is somewhat, for many of your listeners who believe that, I think it's just unrealistic. And the other aspect of it is, what can we do about it? And Christine, your thoughts on Iran right now and their position, and we talked a little bit before we went on air about the apocalyptic nature of the Iranian Shiite Islamic leadership.
Very, very important there. The ulama, when you look at the Iranian leadership, it is founded on Islam, the Shia Islam. Normative Islam, as I indicated, is not a religion of peace. The Shia, when one looks at Iran, I think people don't quite understand the role of Islam when it comes to the Shia. The leader of the Shia is the Ayatollah Khomeini. He is regarded as the Marja, the highest religious authority of the Shia. When one looks at what Iran as a nation ascribes to, they are waiting on the 12th Imam. They could only bring that in through cataclysmic events. It's called the eschatological view of religion, which means you must have catastrophe before the return of that 12th Imam, the Mahdi. It is believed today that Iran thinks they're coming close to that. In fact, we're at a very interesting time because Israel's believers believe that the Messiah is at hand. Christian believers believe that, and so do the Muslims. The thing about Iran is they're being painted as the victims. Oh, America provoked them. That is baloney. Iran has been building up weapons for some time. It has been increasing its uranium deposits toward nuclear capability for a very way before the Iran deal. I still cannot figure out why anybody would believe Iran. Within Islam, you are allowed to. You are encouraged to lie. You are told as a command to lie to spread the faith. So they believe in the revival of the Persian Empire, a heaven on earth, an Islamic paradise on earth first, under the Mahdi. So why would anybody believe that they're not stockpiling nuclear weapons? And lately it's been discovered that they are. Iran now sees a perfect opportunity. They are scared in their boots, shivering because of Donald Trump. They don't know what to do. On one hand, they realize they're being squeezed economically, and that is causing a sort of a fuss among their following. Because let's face it, no political leader could exist without a following. If there is a complete uprising against that leadership, they're gone. And that is actually the heart of what Islamic reform kind of is, because you've got to get rid of the ulama.
So well, we were very close there in 2011. And
there we go.
And the Obama administration basically shut down support for the reformists and started funding the extremists.
He was stupid. He was actually pushing the Muslim Brotherhood as a friendlier version. He believed in appeasement. No one can appease Iran. It is founded on their religion. Now, as for what Donald Trump would do, there are hawks that say, look, it's time to finish off Iran. But on the other side, you hear like Carlson saying, the broadcaster saying, no, we can't do that. It'll be a disaster for the Trump elections. But it all depends on what Iran is going to do. It has threatened Israel. Now, if all of a sudden it is found that Iran is going to obliterate Israel tomorrow, do you really think, and I'm being exaggerating here, do you really think that America will not strike? Or if they intend to strike at Americans, do you really think America will sit back? Iran is watching closely. Trump pulled back because he is doing everything he can to not be given blame for this and in fact, not give reason to be blamed for this. Iran is a crazy state. Expect anything at any time, and the time will come. It's a matter of when America has absolutely no choice and Israel has no choice but to strike for its own survival, for its people in Israel, and even for the sake of the rest of the world, given what Iran is.
Well, it's interesting because there are a number of dynamics, and you mentioned this push to a caliphate, and of course what we saw with ISIS attempt to develop in a Sunni extremist caliphate. You've got Erdogan in Turkey attempting to dominate regionally with power. You've got, of course, the economic power of the Saudis and their expansion of military. But you also have something very interesting right now, which is this peace process that Jared Kushner has been overseeing for the Trump administration for quite a long time. And just this last week, this Peace to Prosperity conference. And if you look at the empowering the people of Palestine and empowering the government of Palestine economically to develop and then helping them over a period of time. That probably is incredibly threatening to Iranian leadership, to the Iranian Ayatollahs, and the potential to actually take away that solidifying factor in the Arab world against Israel. And I believe that a lot of the response right now is to ensure that some effort like that does not come to fruition, that there would not be peace between Palestinians and Israel. There would not be a coordination between a number of Sunni governments, which is actually developing right now, against Iran, coordinated by the United States in conjunction with Israel, which is probably incredibly frightening to them.
First of all, as you know, there's no real Palestine. It's Ottoman South Syria. After the fall of the Ottoman Empire,
yes.
You had people from Jordan, Syria, the whole surrounding region settling there. You've got this tiny speck called Israel surrounded by a bunch of Islamic states and that territory was acquired through bloodshed, violent bloodshed, and God knows what else in between. We see some of it with ISIS, but that has been 1,400 years of Islamic conquest. In terms of a peace process, you and I both know there's never been a peace process. It came and went under the League of Nations. In 1948, when Israel was born, there were efforts back then. The efforts are ongoing today to obliterate
Israel.
We've
got about a minute, Christine. Got about a minute.
Okay, so that's my little answer there in terms of what you just said. There's never been a peace process. There's only a situation of appearance now. The surrounding region will never accept Israel's right to exist. It's documented. Hamas charters, Fatah charters, PA charters, the PLO manifesto, the obliteration of Israel. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea, which means an obliteration of Israel from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, period. That is what they're after. That is what it's about, a one-state solution.
I think a good way to close this out would be, number one, for me to thank both of you folks for discussing this very complicated subject in a knowledgeable aspect. I mean, Jimmy has been there. He boots on the ground, everything. Christine has been involved in this situation for many, many years. The one thing I want people to remember is there was a time when Yasser Arafat was given a two-nation choice. And as a major leader in the area, he simply turned it down with a smile on his face. And I have to say that if that isn't proof in the pudding, LP, I don't know what is. I mean, nobody believes in killing anybody. I mean, yeah, that's a ridiculous thing to say, and I'm sorry I said it, but everybody would like to see their citizens be able to educate their children, be able to grow their countries, et cetera, in a peaceful manner. And it's not happening in the Middle East. If you guys have any specific questions you want to ask, let us know via the blog on Saturday. Christine, Jimmy, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, see you next week. Yeah, see you next week, Jimmy.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.